Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. And back with us is Larry Johnson. And again, I'm in no competition with his shirt, though I do have green, and there's a little bit of blue.
Hey, the green was for St. Patty's Day. That was on
Oh
Tuesday.
yeah, that wasn't it. Yeah, that's very true. Oh
And there's
well,
some
and now we got to get those.
good Irish pubs there in Moscow.
Friend of mine sent me a video. How do the English celebrate properly celebrate St. Patrick's Day? And this guy in an old English uniform, red coat uniform, is like, first I find the good Irish pub I go to, and it's over here, and I get in my car and I switch on the car blows up. The car, this man's been liberated by the IRA. So, man, you can't. How do you keep up? I'm having a hard time keeping up with the city. You see that's just exploding nonstop.
Yeah, so let's walk through now
Oh,
methodically.
I'm sorry. One thing, Larry, before we go on this, I want to say goodbye to a legend. Today, those that didn't hear, Chuck Norris passed away. I thought the man was going to live for 100. I mean, he was fit. I just heard the news. He got sick like a day ago or 2 days ago, and today he's gone. 86.
I met him on the street in Georgetown in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, about 40 years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, he didn't change. I mean, he looked older, obviously, but he wasn't one of these decrepit old men. This guy looked like he hadn't changed much in like the last 40 years. Perpetual. And you find out, crap. Yeah. So, well, let's hope we all get to live to be at least
Nobody,
86.
as I told my 84-year-old mother, who has since passed, I said, "Ma, nobody gets out alive, okay? So
Yeah,
just
except for the Roman that supposedly put the spear into Christ's side, and he's
right.
damned to walk the earth until the end times. So,
Yeah.
no, it's a curse or a luck or what have you.
So just live it while you got it.
Yep, absolutely. So back to the insane clown posse show that we have, otherwise known as the Trump administration.
Okay, so we're getting these now reports, and I'm getting them through back channels, that the Marine they're publicly announcing that they're deploying at least one Marine MEU, an MEU, Marine Expeditionary Unit, one out of San Diego, and then another one possibly out of Okinawa.
Isn't there one in Diego Garcia also?
No, I don't think
No?
so.
I thought there was.
No,
Okay.
no. So it begs the question, why the hell are you publicly announcing that? Because, like when you got deployed to the Balkans back in, what was it, 97, 98? They didn't do a pre-announcement. Hey, Staz and his boys are going to the former Yugoslavia.
Well, we were on a rotation though. We were the second ones in, but so I mean, I don't know if they said who was going in, but we knew when we were
So,
going.
what I there are only two possibilities from announcing it like this. Possibility one: this is a deliberate deception. This is just like the Patton's false army in North in England that's going to attack at Pas-de-Calais to get all the Germans focused there. Because even though they've announced that they're deploying, the San Diego MEU is going to take 19 days to get there. And which way do they sail? I initially thought, oh, they're going to sail, west across the Pacific. Nope, that takes too long. It's quicker for them. They go south to the Panama Canal.
Seriously?
I am dead serious. They go through the Panama Canal, through the Med, through the Suez Canal, and down through the Red Sea.
Damn, I got to
Now,
measure the distance. How could that be faster than going across
it
the.
is. It is. Believe it or not, it is by
Wow.
about two days.
Wow.
Think of it in terms of time zones. Map out the time zones. Okay, so let's come back to this. We've now announced that that's what we're doing. We didn't lay out the route that they're going to travel, but we've announced they're going, and any intelligence analyst worth a damn can figure out which they only got one of two approaches.
They're not going to go around the edge of South America, so that's.
So, and if they go going through the Red Sea, and you're the Iranians, and you know that this force is coming to invade you, you're going to wait till they get to the Strait of Hormuz to take them out? No, you take them out in the Red Sea,
Of course, of course.
sink their ass there. So, or is this a deception that they're trying to get the attention focus while they're going to try to conduct an exercise I worked on. I believe they may try to conduct this 20 years ago, where you insert a special operations force into Iran to attack a hardened, deeply buried target, which are called HDBTs. They go in and take out, capture enriched uranium. Again, a suicide mission.
I was gonna say, how are they gonna do that? That's like 450 kilos plus the containment's gonna be another 450 kilos. That's a
Yeah,
ton of equipment.
that was the lesson learned from that exercise, or well, we talk about lessons learned. Lessons not learned is don't do it, But the problem here is if Trump is serious about using those Marines to try to capture, a beach along the Strait of Hormuz, okay. Do we have anything comparable in the past? Let's look back
Cringy.
81 years, 82 years actually, to June 6, 1944. So the entire beach landing zone, which included Utah and Sword and Gold and Omaha, that was a 50-mile long beachfront.
Yes, there was.
Strait of Hormuz is 100 miles long, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and we had difficulty on the beaches there in Normandy with 165,000 troops.
And prepared ports that were then towed in to supply them.
Yeah, and so, but these guys, the Marine, the Mew, with 2,200 guys, are going to occupy what? I mean, again, it doesn't make sense. Oh no, they're gonna go up to the to Karg Island. Yeah, how are they gonna get through the Strait of Hormuz?
Exactly what I've been saying, and they're just going to let them pass here, have a free flow.
Now they do have, and I'm not sure how many of those planes,
The Ospreys.
the Ospreys, they lift off and then they can fly. I do know that each plane can carry 24 Marines with a full combat load. And in theory, the Mews are supposed to have 15 days where they can be self-sufficient. Now, what happens after day 16? Oh, that's a whole nother issue.
And that's if the
So
Mew doesn't
again,
get sunk while we're at
yes.
it.
So again, this you're trying to figure out what military strategy are we talking about? If you're, yeah, clearly, if you want to eliminate the quote threat in Iran, you're going to have to conduct a ground operation. But that's not 2,200 Marines. That's more like 3 million Army Marines, at least 3 million.
Absolutely.
So we got a bit of recruiting to do.
You think?
Yeah,
Can they get 3 million
Jesus.
young men that are in shape and not, gut hanging out, ass hanging out? I mean,
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, we don't have it. American people aren't going to put up with that for a second. So
Well,
this
what about
is
a
this.
false flag inside the U.S.?
Okay, yeah, but a false flag, then what? What, the United States is going to launch more airstrikes? Well,
True.
probably not. Okay, we're gonna call it. We're gonna mobilize. All right, mobilize. Draft a million new soldiers. Get them through the training. Get them outfitted. Get them equipped. And then how the hell are you
Ship
going to get, then how are you going to
them.
get them over there? Because, one of the things that Russia and Ukraine have learned over the course of the last now 4 years and 1 month is that if you start massing forces anywhere near the front, they are dead men walking. They are easy to target and take out. FPV drones, regular drones, missiles, the glide bombs. So you can't do what we did or what you did back, when you were in the army
Oh,
25 years ago, or let's say 23 years ago, even though you weren't involved with Iraq. you know,
22, 22.
it huh?
22. It's on, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was
2004.
2003, right?
Well, I got out in
No,
2004.
Iraq was
Oh,
2003,
yeah,
though.
Iraq was 2003. Right.
You got out in 2004, right?
Right. I got out 18th of June. Was it 18th or 16th? 18th of July. I'm sorry, 18th of July, 2004.
Yeah, so I'm talking about in 2000, in 2002, we spent basically 11 months building up forces in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, 165,000.
And we were lucky that the other guy called Saddam was an idiot, big enough idiot for a second time to just sit there and wait. I mean, he
Yeah.
did it the first time.
Well, you know, most people don't realize that 2 years prior to that, we'd been backing him in the war against Iran. We'd been providing him intelligence. He thought he was good with us. Well, I mean, that was in 1990. But now by 2003, he'd at least had a decade to realize, God, you can't trust those Americans.
And he still didn't realize it.
But still, you know, we still could gather those troops, amass them, and then launch. Well, those days are over. You can't do that anymore.
Well, you know, Larry, there's one big difference between additionally between what you described in D-Day and what would happen here. D-Day, the job wasn't to take the beach. D-Day was the job was to go up over the cliffs or over the next landline and get as far inland as you could and push the Germans back as far as you can out of artillery range of the beaches. That was the mission. Here, 2,500 troops are going to land and do what? Climb the mountains?
Yeah, we're supposed to stop the attack on ships from
The mountains.
the caves that line that entire 100-mile coast. Yeah, good luck with that. It's
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
you know so you know I always like to break it down, and I learned this thanks to CIA, because when I joined the agency, they instituted this. They put even the intelligence analysts and the science and technology people and the admin people through what was called the career trainee program. Previously, that had been restricted only for operations officers. But as part of that course, we spent 12 weeks doing a paramilitary course down at Camp Perry. And the reason they were doing that is in the like 10 years prior to that, most of the people that were coming into the agency had had some experience with the military. And so they knew what it meant, that if you took some guy that weighed 130 pounds and loaded him up with a 100-pound ruck, included ammunition, a Prick 77 radio, which weighs like 40 pounds,
Yeah, I've carried those before.
and the batteries that go with it, and
Yeah, I've
food
carried those
and
before.
water, and then you tell them, okay, you need to march 10 miles over this mountain, and we'll see you there in an hour. Yeah, that's not going to happen. And
No.
so the point was to put you into a position where you understood what it was to carry a heavy ruck, what it was to have to, you know, navigate under fire and navigate when you're being chased. So it added the complexities and understand that the logist had the importance of logistics. And so, you know, I learned my lessons out of that, I think pretty well.
Oh, good
And so
lessons.
I always approach these, you know, asking the question, okay, you get in there, getting in is easy. How the hell do you get out? What's the exit plan? And what's the resupply plan?
Wait a minute. Wait, you have to resupply them?
Yeah.
What?
So I was just, I should, I don't know if you two would appreciate it on camera, but I've got a short-barreled Kalashnikov with, and I, so I, it's a 9mm though. It shoots 9mm,
Oh, okay.
and so I just put a silencer on it, a suppressor, and an optic, so it looks very cool.
Nice. This is my biggest complaint in being back in the motherland is gun rights or the lack of them for the most part. I need to go through the psych test and put everything in so I can get a shotgun. Or you have to own a non-rifled barrel, long barrel for upteen like 4 or 5 years before you can get a rifle. Which is stupid because if you think about it, if somebody's going to commit a crime, a non-rifle barrel is what you want to use because you can't trace the round
You
back to
can't
it.
trace it. Yeah.
But it is what it is. The law is, and you can't get a pistol unless you're got special government approval. You can get an air pistol, but man, those air pistols at like a half a meter will punch right through somebody's skull. But those aren't considered firearms, so they're okay. But a firearm is, you know.
Yeah, actually, I believe that Steven Seagal, he actually does have a permit to carry.
Come on. When you can go ask Vladimir Vladimirovich personally, hey, can I have a permit? I think you've got a fast route on
Yeah, the
that
way to expedite
one.
it.
Yeah. What's the expedition plan? The president. Oh, okay. Got it. Got it. Here
Yeah,
you go.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, if they're really going to do this, it's going to be the most insane, stupid. Even Car Island. Okay, so you drop the airborne on Car Island. Never mind, you have to clear Car Island. There's a big populated point, even a water park to the northeast. And you're going to be hitting drones. You're going to be hitting FPV drones. If you looked at the maps of that island,
Yeah.
it's flat.
Well, I call it Snake Island with oil.
Exactly. Except they'll switch off the oil because the pipeline is from the mainland. But I measured it, and I'm putting that in my video. On Google Earth, I measured the distances from center of Car Island to the just past the beaches on the mainland, 36 kilometers. The modern drones, they can go up to 50 FPV drones with a big battery pack.
Yeah.
It's
And
going to
that's
just be a
also.
turkey shoot.
That's in artillery range too, isn't it? Or is it?
It is, but the problem is once you start popping artillery off, you become a real big target, and
Yeah.
then it's easier to take it out. But drones, I mean, find the kid under the bush with VR goggles and the drone and the pad that's controlling the drone. Good luck. You know,
Yeah.
then you have to take the beach on the mainland, and then you're going to be under fire, and then you get that mission creep further and further. But you need a lot of troops for that. And how are you going to
Yeah.
supply these guys?
Yeah, that's the thing that the US planners, I think, are failing to take into account.
How are they can be that stupid at this point?
Yeah, no, actually they can. I've seen bad decision making, even, the CIA and what they call the Special Activities Division, the paramilitary guys, made incredibly bad decisions. And one of the reasons for that a lot of times was the guys that actually joined those outfits, they never excelled. A lot of them who like wanted to be special operations with Delta Force never made it, so they get to go do their fantasy tour with SAD. That, or you did have former Delta Force operators, or like Joe Kent, who just resigned as the director of National Counterterrorism Center. So he was with the 75th Rangers at, was 17, which is quite an accomplishment, because they were what we called a Tier 2 unit. They always provided direct support for Delta and SEAL Team 6. In fact, back when I was, doing the exercise scripting, we always joked that we always had to have a capture the airfield in the scenario, because the Rangers had to have something to do. And I was in Jacksonville, Florida. It was either summer of 96 or 97, and we were doing an exercise in which Jacksonville was an offset for Algeria, and the scenario was there was a terrorist cell in Algeria that had smallpox, and so the Delta Force was stood up. We did also have some of what they called advanced force op ADVON, advanced force operations, from some other highly classified military units, and so I was role playing the ambassador, and so I went out to the airfield to greet the 75th Rangers, and they came in, jumped in on the airfield, and then the plane lands, and as a C-130 is just rolling down the tarmac, the ramp drops, guys come out on motorcycles, so kids.
Do you remember a movie Delta Team? They had flying motorcycles. They came out kind of like
Yeah.
that.
Well, and that was sort of, these guys were out, so they did the exercises. So like, but anyway, Joe Kent was part of that group.
Oh,
Then
okay.
he got his SF tab, so he had a Ranger tab, an SF, and as you know, the Special Forces guys, they're not special special operations. They're special forces. Their job's to go out and live with the natives, train the natives, speak the language, you know, whereas the special operations guys don't speak to the natives. They kill the natives.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
And then, but then he got into what at the time it was called Task Force Orange, which was originally called ISA. It's got a variety of it's a SAP program, but it's sort of a military's version of CIA ops officers with guns. You know, most CIA ops officers don't carry guns, but these guys do.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so he had quite a career, and. Then, you know, so at least he knew the lay of the land from an operator standpoint, even though, he didn't have a lot of, let's call it academic or analytical background.
Well, let me say, did you watch his interview with Tucker?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when I was asked about him by RT, as a matter of fact, and I was telling him, RT America, actually they've started up, slowly starting to go back up. America Now, I think is what they're called. And you know, my first instinct before I listened to Tucker Carlson, my first instinct was, look, he's a rat running off the ship, a sinking ship. Because if he was really, you know, oh, I knew this was going to go bad and we couldn't do this anymore, he would have resigned before starting, would have gone to the media and said, look, this is what's about to happen. And this is going to be a shit show. We got to stop this, blah, blah, blah. He would have done that. But when it's day 18 and it's obviously a shit show and you're the first rat off the ship, okay, that's just rats running off the ship. But after Tucker Carlson, I'm like, he's a plant. It's all the Israelis' fault. Trump was innocent. They bedoozled him into this. He's the number one president, blah, 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 blah. I think he's a plant. What do you think?
No, here's what actually went on. Monday night, and I've got this from somebody who was in contact with one of the participants. So, you know, the J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, and Kent met, and Kent informed him, said, look, I can't continue to play along with this. And the agreement was that he would go gentle on Trump. And actually, I argue it's a smart, how Kent came out and talked about Trump was smart for this reason. When you're dealing with a narcissist, and one that's as extreme as Trump, the only thing they respond to is praise. You know, if you go in and try to reason with them, try to say, hey, logic, you know, this doesn't make sense. And they don't want to hear that because they're the smartest guy in the room, don't you know?
Absolutely.
So that's where, you know, I think, and the reason, you know, with Tulsi and J.D. Vance, their hope was that this might help push Trump back towards reality. Now, clearly it hasn't. What was interesting is Kent did meet with Trump after, you know, let him know, hey, I'm resigning, here's why. And Trump is as typical. I have a friend, a very close friend, that has met with Trump on one-on-one in these situations. And Trump is actually very solicitous. He wants to be liked. He's so insecure.
Right.
And so he's not going to be confrontational with you and, you know, call you a son of a bitch and insult you. No, he's, you know, well, can we fix this? And it's only when you're not around that he plays the tough guy. Yeah, he was weak. Thank God he's gone.
Yeah,
good riddance. Yeah. And nobody asked the question, excuse me, Mr. President, who chose him? Oh, that was you. Oh, so you don't properly vet your people? Is that what you're saying?
So, gosh. Yeah. Don't say that. By the way, I'm going to give you well, I don't know if you've heard of this, but maybe I don't think anybody really has. I've gotten through some intel of mine, and it hasn't been shared on live television or video. Because you just reminded me when you said you had the show, or you had the exercise where the enemy had smallpox. In the middle of Odessa, there's Pox Hill. The last time they had a smallpox outbreak, this 100 plus years ago, I guess probably about 120 years ago, that was a mass grave. And they buried it, they built a hill over it, and it's called Pox Hill. Well, apparently, because SAS is all over Odessa right now, they've mined that. in case Odessa falls, they're planning to blow it sky high because the corpses are still contaminated with it, with smallpox. Smallpox, you know, it's a bacteria if I remember correctly, and that even in a weakened form, it can survive, you know, hundreds of years in corpses. So they're looking at blasting it and starting a smallpox outbreak in the city if they have to retreat out of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, the we're in a different situation today treating smallpox. So, you know, my wife used to work at the National Institutes of Health, and she was she started off as a nurse in the critical care unit and then became the manager of the critical care unit. And so one of our friends was Dr. Henry Masur, and Henry is actually one of the world's leading authorities on smallpox. And right after 9/11, I got with Henry, and he brought in the other specialists in smallpox at NIH, and said, "Okay, what's, you know, what's the deal? What's the research?" And what was fascinating, they finally looked around and said, "You know what? All of this, all these medical conclusions we have about the lethality of smallpox is based on data that was collected in the 1930s before we had penicillin."
Jeez.
And yeah, so.
Well, it's like anthrax. Everybody's afraid of anthrax. You know, penicillin cures anthrax.
Yeah. Well, and so, but what was insightful for me is here I was, you know, there were no, there, you couldn't have got a better group of medical specialists. These guys were the experts, the pointy end of the spear. And so when they looked around and started saying, you know, basically, we're working with old data that hasn't been updated or studied. So.
So yeah, but yeah, so I found out they prepared a nice little terrorist attack like that on the city.
Yeah.
The people we deal with.
There, you know, I did hear from one of my friends that here, let me read the message to you. It's pretty interesting. Let's see, where is it? Well, come on here. Oh, he said, "Iran knows exactly what we're doing. We've blinded them, but they're getting heavy intel support from Russia and China. They're
Surprise.
building up and digging in all along the strait and the islands. There's no way we take Karg without incurring unacceptable losses."
How do you hold Karg without incurring unacceptable losses?
Yeah.
It is going to be a turkey shoot with drones flying all over the place.
Well, that's why if these orders are serious about actually employing these forces, we should see some senior resignations from either the Marine Corps and or the Joint Staff,
It's not
you
going to
know,
happen.
in protest. And if they don't, then they're part of the problem.
Yeah, these generals aren't going to give up a multi-million dollar careers after they get out by resigning. You know that. Unfortunately, that's the reality of it. Listen, what
Yeah.
about what if, nobody's talking about this, but I'm seeing the videos that pop up on different channels. We got the U.S. We've got the situation in Iraq. The U.S. has 2,000 troops spread out. You've got the green zone, which with troops, and it's got diplomats, it's got families of diplomats. Plus, you've got the guys up in Mosul and then further north in Kurdistan.
Airbill.
Yeah, Erbil. Erbil's been hit by ballistic missiles. Mosul is under siege. The green zone. I mean, I've seen videos where the Phalanx systems, the ones that look like R2-D2 robots,
Right,
they've been
right.
taken out by drones, and there's fires inside. People driving across the river, Euphrates, and they're videotaping it. There's just flames coming out of different points in the green zone. So it's being hit, and they're being hit constantly. I think, I talked with Scott, with Ritter, about 4 days into it. He's like, yeah, they're going to make a convoy, armored convoy, fist, get in there, get the people out. We're on day 21. No armored convoy, nothing. They're
Yeah.
not even talking about it.
Yeah, no, that's
They're
the
going to be
problem.
running out of supplies by now.
Right. Yeah, well, I know that the air defense system in one of the bases, not in Iraq, out in one of the other countries. I'll tell you offline who it is. Is empty, depleted, fully
Oh,
depleted.
you told me about that
Yeah.
last time. Yeah. It was the
So.
same base? Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But I mean, these
So.
guys, medical supplies, food. I mean, if I wanted to besiege the green zone, the first thing I'd do is cut the water supplies off. Cut the piping. I mean, these guys, I mean, can you imagine if the green zone falls? What kind of a blowback that's going to be? American corpses everywhere from the fighting, women, children, whomever, taken prisoner or hostage. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean this, the Shia militia. They've taken enough damage from the United States from over for 23 years. The desire for payback and revenge, significant.
Oh yeah. I mean, can you? But again, I mean, I don't know if you're hearing anything about it. I haven't seen anything mentioned there. It's like it's
No,
non-existent.
other than that, the U.S. just put in some more troops in the last 24 hours, maybe to help evacuate people. That's a possibility. Are you in Russia able to see more video footage out of social media coverage out of Israel, or is it still it's quite restricted for you guys too?
No, it gets, I mean, not a lot, but it gets out. I think the Palestinians are video, and some of it is Israelis videotaping, because I mean, you see people on the ground, you got Israeli medical crews, and people are talking in Hebrew, so some of it is getting out, and the Palestinians are pushing a lot of it out too, or and for other foreigners that are there, but I mean, I'm not sure how many years in prison if you put one out, but they're still getting out.
They've got to be suffering
Oh
far more
yeah.
extensive damage this time than they did. This is now the 21-day war as opposed to a 12-day war.
Right.
So.
I think the Iranians aren't shooting quite as many missiles. They're going slow and steady this time. It's not the rush to get as much out. But they are, the videos are coming out. There are parts of Tel Aviv that look like Gaza now.
Yeah.
They've gotten the Gaza treatment, and you can see intact high-rise buildings, and then. Like 10-story buildings are just destroyed. Concrete buildings are just destroyed. It looks like Gaza. I mean, they gave it to Gaza and they're getting it back themselves. By the way, they closed the Church of Separate
The Holy Sepulchre, Church of the Holy
Sepulchre.
Sepulchre,
Sepulchre.
yes.
I'm constantly. Yeah, it's never been closed
Yeah.
since it's been built. The original small church was built over it and grew into the giant cathedral. They've closed it. And we've got Holy Week coming up, and.
I've been there.
Yeah, me too.
I was actually there with a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre.
Oh, really?
So within the Catholic Church, they had an order of knights. And this one was Walter Patrick Lang, Pat Lang. Pat set up the Arabic program at West Point. He was the lead
Wow.
instructor for Arabic. He was defense attaché to both Saudi Arabia and Yemen. He used to go hunting with jaguar hunting with Saleh, the head of Yemen.
Wow.
He was the chief. He was the head of the Middle East division at Defense Intelligence Agency, and he was hand carrying the intelligence to the Iraqi government, Iraqi army during the last 2 years of the Iran-Iraq war.
Wow.
So,
Okay. Yeah.
yeah, that kind of background. But he was Catholic, and he'd been given that right. So I got to go with him, and we got to go all over that church. And anybody
Nice.
that's never been there, yeah, I call it's like a recipe of what Jerusalem should be,
Yeah.
because you've got every different Christian sect. You've got the Orthodox, you've got the Catholics, you've got different orders of Catholics, you got the
Armenians.
Ethiopians.
Yeah.
You got the, so you got the Greeks, you got the Russians, and they get all these different sects within Christianity, and they have to learn how to get along. A lot of times they get into fist fights, all the Christians fighting each other.
That's disgusting when
But
that happens, honestly speaking.
the one that holds the key to the door is,
A Muslim.
huh?
As a Muslim, as an Arab
Yeah.
family.
The
Yeah.
imam, the chief, the chief imam of Jerusalem.
Was it the chief imam that holds the key? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I knew it was a Muslim family because they're
Yeah,
neutral.
yeah. But so the Muslim, but it's this Muslim cleric that
Oh.
has historically held the key to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Yeah, this, I think, you know, they had that expression with television called jumping the shark. And I guess
Yeah, I know that.
it was originally with Happy Days when the Fonz was on skis and jumped the shark or something.
Right.
That's when they say that the show starts to go off rails and that the narrative starts collapsing. It looks like Israel jumped the shark yesterday with Netanyahu, with his remarks comparing Jesus Christ to Genghis Khan. Did
Oh,
you see that?
I missed that. I've watched a bunch of his, but I missed that. Send me
Oh yeah,
that if you don't mind.
I'll see if I can
That
find
is
it.
so friggin' over the top.
Oh yeah, no,
How the hell did he
he.
compare Genghis Khan to Jesus Christ, the Son
Because
of
it just
God, who
shows.
said, "Be peaceful, love your neighbor. He
No,
who
no.
has never sinned, throw the first rock."
No, he was equating, basically saying, Jesus can't defeat evil. Evil defeats good. I mean, missing the entire story of the resurrection. And it's like, yeah, that's what we need. We need to hear from a Jew about killing another Jew. And that other Jew actually had the vision of, you know what? There's no one that's just special. We're all special. We're all God's creation. That was the message of Jesus, the Jew that was killed by the establishment Jews.
And that's if you don't believe as a Christian that, by the way, that's God the Word incarnate in human
Yeah,
form.
yeah.
And then it gets really odd if you're going down that road.
So they've done that, and now they've locked down Al-Aqsa, and they've locked down the Church of the Holy Sepulchre.
Oh, they had locked down Al-Aqsa
Just
too. That's
insane. Just insane.
Holy Sepulchre has never been locked down for all Christians. They've had moments where the Armenian Church bought off. It was the Ottomans who ruled it to lock it down for the Orthodox, and the Holy Flame came outside during the service. They had the service outside. That was the only time I think that even partially was locked down. But this is so friggin' over the top. Not that the Christian Zionists care, because they're not really Christians anyways. But
Yeah.
this is as an Orthodox Christian, it's an insult. It's an absolute insult.
Yes.
By the way, if you've got time when you come, I will show you to New Jerusalem, where they built the model in a big, it's a monastery in Istra. They back in the 1700s, they built a copy of Church of the Sepulchre, smaller, but the inside portion where the tomb, they did the same thing. And it's New Jerusalem is because, you know, if you want to be a pilgrim back in the 1700s from Russia down to Jerusalem, not only was it a long, expensive road, but it's pretty damn dangerous too.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
they built that for people to be able to not have to travel that far. Beautiful church. The Germans were in Istra for 2 weeks, and as the Red Army was approaching, they burnt everything down. The communist government kind of was fixing it, but yeah, kind of not very much. And then the church really went at it about 15 years ago, started really fixing it up, and it's like brand new. It's quite a sight.
Oh,
Not
wow.
as good as obviously the original, but you know.
Yeah.
I'll show you that if you've
Yeah,
got
I'll look forward to
the
that.
time.
That'd be great.
Yeah, but so yeah, I don't know what to say to that. But you saw the RT team got hit.
Yeah,
Yesterday.
yeah. Yeah, I mean that was close.
They weren't
And but
aiming for
that
them.
Oh, and of course they were. Of course they were. This is look, Israel's killed, you know, they've killed more journalists than were killed in World War II, Vietnam, all of them combined.
No, I'm not saying they weren't. In my opinion, because that's a laser-guided munition, because there's a photo that they sent me. What is
Yeah,
this? I looked it up. It's a laser-guided munition. They would have, if they were really wanted to kill them, they would have lased right on top of them, and that munition would have hit them. They were intimidating them. I mean, there was on purpose they're shooting in the area to drive them off. But you're right; they have killed UMA amount of journalists. So yeah, what do you think is going to happen with gas prices? I mean, look,
It's already happening. So I don't think you're experiencing it in Russia.
No.
So here where I am in the United States, share the screen with me and I'll see if I can show you this one.
How the hell do you share the screen on this thing?
Hang on.
Доска доступа, только организатор, все участники. Okay, so that should do it, maybe. Okay, try that.
Okay. All right, let's see here. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, I can see it now.
Okay. So I go to BJ's. This was last Monday. And
3:30 today.
so I get, I get it. I'm a member. I use their credit card, so I get it. The regular price is 347. This was yesterday.
Yeah, not
So
a bad little increase.
up 22 cents in basically 3 days. Yeah, because this one was on Monday. And this one was on Thursday.
By the way, when you were looking at prices in Russia, one thing to keep in mind, basic or standard in the US is 80, what, octane 87?
Yeah.
In Russia it's 92.
Oh. Yeah,
And
this is all.
95 is the high octane.
Yeah, this is all 87. And before the war started, back on February 28th, I was paying $2.54.
Oh,
So it is
really?
now, so in four weeks, so less than 4 weeks, it was up a full dollar. And I haven't been back today, but I guarantee it's going up.
Of
And that's
course.
diesel is worse. Diesel is twice that. The diesel has gone up like $2. So that affects tractors, that affects the store, the trucks delivering to stores. So the costs really in the United States are going way up. And if you recall that, here I come back. Just get back to here. How do I unshare this?
That I'm not sure. Let me see if I can figure this out. Oh, there we go. Okay, so I can just Okay, I've got us on the main screen now, so it's just it
Okay.
opens up a secondary screen so we can I just flipped to the main screen of the conference. Wow, yeah, that but you know, it's interesting because the U.S. produces most of its own petro. So the government could walk in and say, this is the maximum price ceiling for so much time and so on. They could regulate prices.
Well, that maybe, but see, here's the problem. So you had X quantity of oil.
Right.
Now that oil is now reduced down to Y quantity of
Right.
oil. The oil producers in the United States are not national, they're not government owned, they're privately owned. So you've got a reduced supply globally. Everybody's now willing because the demand that was the same is facing shrunken supply, so the price naturally goes up. Now, if you're one of those suppliers, your choice is, do I keep selling it low here in the States, or do I make that profit by sending it overseas? So, well, you go where the money is.
Well,
That's all.
the Russian government, because Russia has both national corporations and private corporations in the oil industry. And the government will go in and they will, if prices are rising too high, they will stop, they'll set maximum price ceilings and they will ban exports of certain fuels if too much. Because we had this when I moved back to Russia in 2010, so this is 2011, all of a sudden Russia didn't have any gasoline or petrol because the price had risen so high in Europe. All the major producers, they just shift everything to Europe to make the big profits.
That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, and the Russian government finally stepped in. It was like, no, stop, because I mean, you had gasoline in lines shortages in the country that produces some of the largest amounts of it. And they said, that's it, no more exports. You're gonna if you want to sell it, you sell inside the country. And prices dropped back down, and then there was the lines evaporated the next day. And they will do that off and on, but But they're not making, Putin doesn't have investments in stocks for oil and gas.
Right. Yeah, so this, this shock is not going away
Oh, no.
anytime soon. Now, the one country, though, that has, as we used to say in Missouri, they had cotton fields, and they used to talk about shitting in tall cotton. What that basically meant is, you could walk through and the cotton balls would just wipe your ass for you because you didn't have to bend over. It's a crude expression, but it's poetic. Well, that's Russia right now because Russia's making like $150 million a day. Russia's may make a minimum of $4.5 to $5 billion minimum
Additional. This is additional.
in March. Yeah, and on top of everything else. And then we're not talking about the economic windfall as well from liquid natural gas, as well as from fertilizer.
That
This
I
is
think
almost like this attack on Iran was designed to make Russia the strongest country in the world economically.
realistically we could be facing I'm saying nationwide, but Europe could be facing starvation, at least on a class level
Oh
for the
yeah,
lower classes, literally
yes.
starvation.
Oh yeah,
Food
no,
costs are going to
because
skyrocket.
85% of the arable land, or 75% of the arable land in the world, is above the equator, north of the northern
Right,
hemisphere.
right.
So now's the planting season. What do they need? They need fertilizer. And 35% of the world's supply of fertilizer has just disappeared, gone.
And the other 40%, which is Russia, is for
Sitting in.
Bolton for Europe, which you gotta love that. And what do they say? No. We're gonna crack down further on Russia. I'm like, okay,
Yeah, I
whatever,
mean
man.
they're insane. I was on a radio show, a fellow named Randy Cretico, and Ambassador Dmitry Polyanski, who's now in the OSCE. He was on, and we were asking him. I told him, I said, you know what? When your diplomatic career ends, and for the work that you've done dealing with the Europeans, you're going to be qualified to serve as a psychiatrist dealing with people with multiple personality disorders. Because, here's Europe on the one hand saying, we are not going to buy any more oil or liquid natural gas from Russia starting in January. Meanwhile, hey, sell us everything you got. We want it
Yeah,
right now.
exactly. What do you mean you want to leave? You're not going to wait for January. How dare
Yeah,
you?
yeah. So, yeah, I'm hoping Vladimir Putin follows through with this. You know what? You're going to cut us off in January? Why wait? Let's cut it off now.
Exactly. But I mean, in January, I mean, look at the damage that's being done. I mean, somebody who's worked in the gas and oil field, I'll tell you, if it's as serious as what that looks like in Qatar. And I've seen the photos of the bombing from the missile hit, multiple missile strikes. That ain't gonna be a 1 2 months. Let's put some band-aids on, change a few pipes and everything. That could be wellheads destroyed. I mean, that could be
Yeah.
wells damaged while we're at it. They may have to redrill wells, pull pipe and reset the pipe, or maybe drill new wells and cap the old ones if they're damaged enough. Never mind fires that may be raging there that have to be put out. Usually, you blow the wellhead to put the fire out, extinguish the oxygen out of it. But th then again, that damages the hell out of the wellhead if there's anything
Yeah.
left in it. I mean, we're talking if not half a year, we're talking possibly a year, 2 3 years to get just that up and running. Never mind the LNG plant itself. I mean, that is. Yeah, this isn't going to switch back on tomorrow. This isn't going to switch back on this year. I mean, this
Well,
is serious damage.
the only good news in this is you and I are going to have something to talk about next week.
I'm sure by that point, God only knows what the Israelis and Trump are going to do by that point. Oh my God.
Yeah, but you're doing great work with Rick Sanchez on his program,
Thank
walking
you.
through the maps and stuff. That's very extremely helpful to people.
Yeah, I've been on so many of these podcasts. I mean, they're good guys. It's fun to discuss it all. Well, the topic is exactly the funnest topic, but without a map, I'm on my fingers. Well, Slavinsk is here, Kamatorsk is here. This, you're trying to, this, it's like for people to have no idea where most of these places are to begin with, they can't picture on a map because they don't know. And you're on your fingers, you're trying to describe. It's like, God, give me a map, please. And then Sanchez, I was talking with Sanchez because we went over it. It's like, hey, why don't we do a map? And he's got those huge screens, like, yes, let's do a
No, that
map.
was a brilliant move. All right, I'm gonna have to bail out of here. I gotta go visit our RT friends.
Yeah, I was with him the other day. Thank you, Larry. Everybody, thank you for joining. I look forward to seeing you on Easter. So,
Yes, that's the
Christy's
plan.
looking forward to it too. So, yeah, it's gonna be a good day with a bit of drinking going on.
All right, my
Now,
brother.
if you don't mind that, of course.
I'll make an exception.
Well, okay then. Then I'll bring you an extra couple of bottles. Just
All right, great. We'll see
everybody,
ya.
thank you. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.